This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Brigitte Gabriel, author most recently of They Must Be Stopped, Why We Must Defeat Radical Islam and How We Can Do It. She's also the founder of ActForAmerica.org. We want to get her thoughts on a couple of very important stories that we've already discussed with her in the past. First of all, the story of Rivka Berry, the young girl from Ohio who converted to Christianity and then fled home because she believed her father would kill her as a result of what's known as an honor killing. We'll also get her thoughts on how the Lockerbie bomber's release has been handled and her thoughts, speaking of the Lockerbie bomber, on the 40 years of Libyan rule for Muammar Gaddafi. And Brigitte, it's always great to have you with us.
Thank you, Craig. It's a delight being with you.
Well, let's start with a story that's gained international headlines, of course, and that's the release a couple of weeks ago of Abdelbaset al-Megrahi, the only person ever convicted in connection with the Lockerbie bombing that killed 270 people back in 1988, allegedly on compassionate grounds. But now we realize that the British government apparently, for whatever reason, didn't want him to die in their custody. And they also apparently had some pretty nice oil interests with Libya. Based on what we're learning right now, what's your reaction?
It's like opening a Pandora's box. You know, as days go by, we find more and more horrifying information about the deals that went behind the scenes. As if the lives of the 250 plus people who died on that airplane on the Pan Am flight meant nothing. The Libyan leader is bragging about the money that he received from oil companies in Britain to make this exchange. He is saying that the money he has paid supposedly repenting or his involvement with the bombing of the Pan Am flight, he has received it back and even more from oil companies lining up to do business with Libya. And it's also disheartening, Craig, to see that we are hearing more information today that the Scottish government and the British government did have communication with our government, at least on an ambassadorial level. We know that a member of the Scottish government has contacted Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and also others within the Obama administration, yet we do not know. They are not releasing the correspondence that took place of that deal. So we do not know what type of resistance the American government put up or what really went behind the scene. And I think, you know, by the time everything is said and done, this is going to be a big stink, not only for the British government as well as the Scottish government, but also it may implicate some members of this administration as well.
Brigitte, of course, you mentioned Muammar Gaddafi. He took power almost exactly 40 years ago in Libya. He's having this very lavish six-day celebration to celebrate his four decades of rule after a coup back in 1969. It's obviously hard to capsulize 40 years in just a brief answer, but obviously this is a man who quickly aligned himself with Islamic radicals, with the PLO, clearly in the 1980s targeting Americans in Berlin on the Lockerbie flight, which we've already mentioned. It appeared there for a while, a few years ago, that he was at least moving away from weapons of mass destruction, but now, of course, celebrating the return of the Lockerbie bomber to his home country. And I know that your homeland of Lebanon has been affected by his radicalism. When you think of 40 years of Colonel Gaddafi, what comes to mind?
He's a terrorist thug who has been supporting terrorists and aiding and abetting terrorists and even conducting assassinations. You mentioned Lebanon. He was responsible for the killing and assassination of Muqtada Sadr, who was a very prominent Shiite leader in Lebanon that he invited over to Libya and got him killed. He had his hand in terrorism all over the world before we even in America learned to even say the word terrorism and find out what's involved. Craig, zebras do not change their stripes. And the Libyan leader was afraid of America, and the reason why he signed an ending of his exploration of nuclear development in 2003 was after he saw that America meant business with Iraq, and after he saw that America went into Iraq and did whatever America needed to do to disarm Saddam Hussein, he did not want to take that chance. But I have to say that in 2006, after he was supposed to get rid of 30 tons of explosives that he still had to enrich uranium, he refused to back on that and to get rid of it because he realized that we are really not doing anything to Iran. And he said to himself, you know, obviously the Iranians are moving with the nuclear development, so why should I get rid of my mustard gas, 30 tons of mustard gas he was supposed to get rid of. And right now we see that he is using this whole deal that he cut with the British behind our backs. We at least we hope it was behind our backs, that that people in our government were not really in on it and they just did not want to create wave. He is using this as a platform to really reestablish himself on the world scene, regain some respect, develop some relationship even with shady figures and especially in third world countries, because he has oil, he has goods that he can offer for a price for those who are willing to pay it. And that's what he is hoping to accomplish. And I believe his decision to come to the United States next month to participate in the UN General Assembly session is all a part of that plan, bring him and establishing his name on the world stage as a major player.
We're talking with Brigitte Gabriel. Her book is They Must Be Stopped. And Brigitte, a couple of weeks ago when you and I were speaking, we highlighted for our listeners the fact that one issue that you are very concerned about in this country is honor killings, because most Americans don't understand it. But in the Muslim culture, if they feel that someone in their family has disgraced them, particularly converting away from Islam, that is a typical reaction. And the story that's gotten a lot of attention recently is this teenage girl in Ohio converted to Christianity, perhaps for the first time in the history of her family going back centuries to do that, fled to Florida and was in the custody of a minister down there because she believed her father would, in fact, kill her after her parents discovered she had a Bible and so forth. What's the latest on this story, and how important is this case for determining how these sorts of issues will be handled in the months and years ahead?
Well, there's another hearing coming out tomorrow, Craig, and we urge people who are listening to please contact Governor Chris down in Florida and voice your opinion, at least to protect this girl. What do we have to lose if we just kept her in foster homes for the next few months? She's going to be turning 18 within the year. What's so sad, Craig, is, you know, in America, when a child in school tells his teacher or her teacher that my father beats me or my father is threatening to kill me, that child will be whisked immediately into foster home. Social services would take charge of that child, and the family will have to be dragged in court for years before they can see their child again. Here we have a 17-year-old who fled her home telling us that my father belongs to this radical Islamic center, the Nur Islamic Center in Columbus, Ohio, which, by the way, housed the largest Al-Qaeda terrorist cell on American soil. It's a very radical mosque. This is what her family belongs to. She is saying that they want to kill me because I converted to Christianity, and no one really listening to her. The mainstream media is ignoring the story. The newspapers really do not want to do anything about it. Even some newspapers in Florida are making fun of the girl, calling her a runaway, you know, teenager, that she should be returned back to her family. It's very concerning because it is not only an issue of honor killing at this time, Craig. The issue also is this girl has become an apostate. She has left the religion of Islam. In the Islamic religion, this is a crime against the state or the ummah, the nation state of Islam, because Islam is a political totalitarian movement, not only a religion. So even if they decide tomorrow to return this girl back to her family, and even if her family does not kill her personally, this girl is under threat from the larger Islamic community because she has committed a crime against the religion itself, and it is their duty to kill her. So some members from the Islamic community may do the dirty deed and cleanse their honor by killing her, and we would not be able to trace it or do anything about it. And that's why I urge our listeners to go to our website, actforamerica.org. We sent an email out today with the phone number of the governor of Florida, email contact also for the Children's Development and Custody Department in the state of Florida, that you may contact them and voice your opinion and tell them at least to give this girl a chance to save her life. Just keep her for a few extra months until she turns 18 years old and she can decide for herself.
Brigitte, unfortunately, our time is up. Some very, very important issues discussed here. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Brigitte Gabriel. The book is They Must Be Stopped, Why We Must Defeat Radical Islam and How We Can Do It. Also the founder of actforamerica.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.